we celebrated, are celebrating, and some people will continue to celebrate Independence Day. Once again, every year, this occasion is marked by fireworks, hot dogs, and neighbors shooting next to my yard, you know, for no reason, right? Maybe you can relate to that. What is it, all that shooting? You know, first time I said to myself, oh man, you know, the Taliban is here. The 4th of July is a very meaningful day for every American. Amen? Meaningful day. Or at least it should be, right? It should be. On this day, we celebrate being free from the shackles of the British occupation. All right, the British Empire. Now, today, we are also celebrating an even greater and eternal blessing, which is our salvation in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
See, today we are looking back at the cross, and today we're looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are thankful for all those who pay a high price for our freedom.
Yeah.
Even yesterday I was watching a movie that was suggested by one of the people in the church. It's called Indivisible. Really good movie about a chaplain in the United States during the Afghanistan war. Very moving, and it shows the price that our soldiers pay, okay, for our freedom. So today, we're thankful for all the patriots that gave their lives so that we can live free. But most of all, and above all, and beyond all, we are thankful for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who died on the cross.
Right.
So that we can have eternal life.
Yes.
He paid the price of freedom.
Amen.
We are free in Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 8 verse 32 and 36. It says that you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Free indeed. It says, the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in this country, no matter who's going to be the president or not, we can be free and remain free in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are thankful.
Yeah.
We are thankful. And today, we remember three things. Number one, we remember the death of our Savior. The death of our Savior. Now, every religion in this world has had a founder, right? Buddha, Muhammad, Russell, you name it. But the faith of Christianity is founded on Jesus Christ, on the death of our Savior. Of course, we remember His death, but you need to remember also the fact that He's not dead anymore. He was buried, but He is alive. See, He completed the work, and He will continue to complete it until the completion is complete when He comes for us and He takes us home to heaven.
Amen.
Now it says the death of our Savior. He became a human being to die for our sins. Jesus became a human being to die for our sins. And when I say that He became a human being, I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm not saying that He was God, and now he became a human being, and then he stopped being God. No, he added another nature, okay, to his person. He is God, and he is man. He added that. He didn't subtract anything. He continued and will continue to be God forevermore, even as he was on this earth when he became a human being, submitted to the Father. He never stopped being God. Never. He was omnipotent. He knew what was in man's heart. Everything. He knew it. Now, see, the main reason that he became a human being was not to perform miracles, although they were great. Amen? Perhaps he performed thousands. I believe in miracles. I don't know about you, but I believe in miracles. I believe that God still does miracles. Amen?
Amen.
I believe in healing, that Jesus heals. He came to perform miracles, to teach, to heal, to guide, to give an example. But the main reason of the incarnation was that he could die for our sins. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because a spirit cannot die. Look what it says in Matthew 10:28. And this is just one example. And do not fear those who kill the body. But what does he say? Cannot kill the soul. The spirit of man is eternal. It's not infinite, but it's eternal. All right? So when we die, the body dies, but the soul continues. The spirit continues. And you say, what about the people that go to hell? They still continue. They don't die. See, we don't believe like the Jehovah's Witness, so-called Jehovah's Witness, believe, and I used to believe many, many years before I became a Christian, I used to believe in something called annihilation. Annihilation. What is that? It means that when you die, you die. You know, you become nothing. You stop. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The soul cannot be killed. So therefore, Jesus as a spirit, he couldn't die for us. Right? He had to become one of us. So he could die physically for us and pay the price for us on the cross.
Amen.
It says in our text, in verse 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood. That's what we are, right? Sometimes we think we are invisible, but we're not. We're flesh and blood, right? We are invisible in Christ, but not in ourselves. So he says, he himself likewise share in the same, that through death he might destroy. See, he could pay the price through death. So he became a human to die for our sins. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 3, this is exactly the chapter that I'm starting this week for a future sermon in the book of Romans. And it came to me that I could use it in this sermon today. Romans 8:3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, we know that the law of God is holy, is pure, and is perfect. But it was weak in regard to our salvation. It couldn't save us. A law just tells you what to do. And if you don't do it because you can't, because you're a sinner, then it failed. And you fail. But it failed not because the law is bad or not holy, but because that was not what it was designed for. The law would tell you the standard of God, okay, that no one could keep. But it says, but God did by sending his son in what? In the likeness of sinful flesh. So he became like any other human being. So if anybody could see Jesus, he would say, oh, right? Then they confuse him many times. They say, oh, who's this? You know, who does he think he is? He's just the son of the carpenter. He's from Nazareth. He's just, you know, right? He was like one of us, but without the sin. It says in the likeness of sinful flesh, but without the sin. And then it says, so that on account of sin, and then he condemned sin in the flesh. Now we read today in Romans 8:1, it says, therefore there's now no condemnation, right? For those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? You know why? There's no condemnation for you and me. Because going back to the verse that we read, 8:3, when Jesus became a man, he paid the price. He died for us. And he condemned sin so that we should not be condemned. Sin is condemned. Sin is destroyed. This is what we read in, for example, in Philippians 2:7-8. It says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He became a man. For what? Verse 8. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself, right? Became obedient to what? To the point of death. Even the death of the cross. Specifically, he became a man to die for our sins. He shed his blood for us. That's the second point. He shed his blood for us. It says in Matthew 26:28, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. Now, I've been reading with my wife, again, the Bible. We start it every so often, right? You finish, you go back to it. All right, so if you ever read the Bible, don't be like some people say, I finished, I read the Bible. That's it. No. Finish Revelation. Go back to Genesis, right? And start all over again, right? If people can go and watch, what's her name? The lady that sings. How do you know? Taylor Swift. If they can go to all her concerts over and over. You know they follow that lady. They watch her over here. And they go even to Europe to watch her over there. Incredible. We can do the same. We can do even better. We can continue read the Bible. And in the book of Leviticus, it shows us at least 5 different sacrifices. If you want to write it, you're welcome to write everything I say. The first one is the burnt sacrifice. The burnt sacrifice. The second one was the grain sacrifice. Grain, you bring grains to the Lord. The third one was the peace sacrifice. The fourth one was the sin sacrifice. And the fifth one was the trespasses sacrifice. Burnt, grain, peace, sin, and trespass. And you say, and you ask yourself, why so many sacrifices? Because there was so much what? Sin, right? So much sin. You know, you always, I mean, you have to have and keep track of all the sacrifices that you have to do day in, week in, month in, year out. It was never ending. But Jesus came with the new covenant in himself. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he died how many times? Once and for all. That's it. Once and for all. It's a lasting, eternal sacrifice. It's a new covenant. We don't need to keep bringing sacrifices. We don't need to keep repenting of our sins and trusting Christ. Now, we need to confess our sins every day, but not become a Christian every week, because his new covenant is what has brought us to Christ. New. It's all is new. And it all in the hands of Christ. We don't need to bring any more sacrifices, except for one. Right? You know the one I'm talking about? Romans 12:1. Bring the living sacrifice to the Lord. Present yourselves. Renew your minds as a living sacrifice. Every day say, Lord, here I am. Do whatever you want with me. Even if I don't like it. And especially if I don't like it. You know? There's going to be a lot of things in the Christian life that you and I might not like. But he's the Lord, right? And the Lord is not going to ask you today or tomorrow or any day, hey, do you like doing this? Right? If sergeants in the army tell you, get up, you know, they, and you have to march or whatever, the Lord says, go. And we need to go. Come. And we need to come. Do, and we need to do. Say, and we need to say. We need to obey the Lord.
Amen.
Secondly, not only we remember the death of our Savior, but we also find comfort in the defeat of Satan. In the defeat of Satan.
Amen.
I don't know if you knew this, but Satan is defeated. Satan is defeated. And Satan, if you're a Christian, now if you're not a Christian today, you're in trouble. You need to repent and come to Christ.
Amen.
But if you're a Christian today, Satan is powerless against you and me. Powerless. Oh, death, where is your sting? It says in 1 Corinthians 15, Satan is defeated. He was already judged at the cross.
Amen.
Judged. Now, Jesus paid the price for us on the cross. But Satan was already judged. We don't need to be afraid of Satan.
Nope.
As a matter of fact, if we will really walk with Christ in the way that we should walk, Satan will be afraid of us. Because the devil, the Bible says, resist the devil in James chapter 4. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Amen.
But in the same verse it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And then together you resist the devil and he will flee from you. Not so much because he's afraid of you or me. But we have backup. You see what I'm saying? We got backup. And when he comes at me, and I'm not walking with God, he's going to sweep the floor with me. You know? He's going to sweep the floor. Like he did with Peter when he denied Christ. Like he did with David when he committed all the things that he did. And Moses and everybody in the Bible that made mistakes. But when we stand in Christ, and Christ is our backup, and Christ is before us and behind us and all around us, the devil will flee.
Amen.
And he needs to flee from this, from our life and from this church.
Right.
He has no place in this church. Amen. He is defeated. Jesus said in John 12, 31, now is the judgment of this world.
Amen.
Now the ruler, right?
Yeah.
The ruler of this world, which is Satan, will be cast out. In John 12 to 16, it was the setting of the Last Supper. Jesus was with the disciples, enjoying the Last Supper like we will do in a few minutes. And Jesus predicted, and he said, now. Why now? Because in a few minutes, he would be what? Betrayed by Judas, the one that was cast out from their midst. And then in a few hours, he would be what? Going to the cross. And see, when the devil sent Jesus to the cross, to die on the cross, he was going like this, right? He said, oh man, I got it now, right? My greatest victory. But really, it was his greatest and eternal defeat. He was judged at the cross. And point B, he is completely defeated. Completely defeated. We don't need to be afraid of Satan. We don't need to sin and follow Satan. We don't. We don't need to believe his lies. All those thoughts that come to your head and my head during the week, that's the devil. And it's always the same game with him. It's like a childless game that doesn't do anything else. The lies and the fears and the intimidation. That's all he does. Like he says in John 8, it says, he is the father of lies. He lies and he cheats and he steals. That's all he can do. He has no truth in him. So he has to lie. But we got the truth. And it says, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Christ, likewise share in the same, that through death, look at this, it's coming, he might destroy him that had, you get that verse, that word, had the power of death, that is the devil. And you say, when did the devil add the power of death? Well, let me explain something really quick. The devil had never had the power of death in the sense that he can kill whomever he likes or wants at will. Never. That's in the hands of God. It's always been and will always be in the hands of God. So why does the Bible say it? That he had the power of death? Because the devil, Satan, is the author of sin. And sin produces what? Death. So he had that power by bringing sin, and then sin will lead to death. But when Jesus died on the cross, you see what I mean? He took even that power from him because he condemned sin. He destroyed the devil. And he has complete victory over hell and Satan and everything else. He might destroy him that had the power of death. The devil is completely defeated. Now he roams around. It says in 1 Peter 5a, be alert, watch for the eye. It's like a lion going around, seeing to whom he might devour. But the problem is that when it comes to you and me, you see, he might be a lion, right? He might be a lion. By the way, the devil is never original. He always copies. Because Jesus is, who is Jesus? The Lion of Judah. Now, that's the real lion. Like in the movie, I don't know. Let me not talk about the movie. So he's the lion, right? The real one, right? I don't want to give, you know, ratings to any movies, right? He is the real lion. And then Satan goes around to see who can whom he can devour. But the thing about it is that he got no what? No teeth. No power. It's like when they make laws in the United States, and when they used to make laws, when I used to be a teacher, that sounds so good. When I used to be a teacher. Right? They would make all these laws in the school. I even wrote it and translated it, you know, in Spanish. But it had no teeth. They say, you cannot come to school with holes in your pants. Everybody had holes in their pants. You cannot come with pajamas, and on, no teeth. Well, the devil has no power over us. Finally, let us rejoice as we remember the death of our Savior, the defeat of Satan, and let us rejoice in our deliverance and salvation. Let us rejoice in our salvation. You know, the greatest gift that God has given humanity is salvation in Jesus Christ. I don't care what else you have. I don't care if you have a house on the beach. Maybe you can rent it to me one time. You know, I love the ocean. I don't care if you have whatever you have. All of that passes away, right? All of that is temporal. But the salvation that we have in Christ is greater than the 4th of July. See, in the 4th of July, we celebrate independence from England. In the Exodus, we celebrate the independence from Egypt. But in the deliverance and salvation from, you know, that we have in Christ, then we celebrate independence from eternal death and damnation and hell and Satan and darkness and the world and everything else in between. This is greater than the 4th of July. By the way, yesterday I saw some manifestation. You know, people were, I don't know if you saw it last night, but people put fireworks on the 4th of July. But I had to call Myra, all the lightning. Did you see the lightning last night? It was beautiful, scary, but beautiful. That's the real fireworks. That's the one. So let us see two things, and let me finish. Number one, our sins have been remitted. Have you ever heard the word remission? Remission? Especially with cancer patients. Sometimes they say, oh, this person is in what? In remission. Now, all that means is that the cancer or whatever they're going through is on a pause. It's inactive, right? It's not active. It's not growing. And in many cases, it's even decreasing. But in many cases, remission, while it comes back, right? But remission, legally speaking, has another meaning. And it means the cancellation of all our debts. So for example, if you go to the court and the judge finds that you are not guilty, he remits any penalty or debts or anything that you had to pay. Well, that's the meaning of our remission of sins in Jesus Christ. We don't owe God anything in Christ anymore. Not even 1 cent. Amen?
Amen.
Look what he says in verse 27 and 28. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink it, all of you. This is my blood, which is shed, the new covenant, which is shed for many, for what? For the remission of sins. For the cancellation of sins. For total forgiveness of sins. And you say, yeah, but what about the sins that I will commit next week? Remission. What about next year? Remission. What about 10 years from now? Remission. Everything has been remitted. Cancel. When God looks at the book, because the Bible says that the books will be open. There's going to be at least three books, right? At least three books. One is the book of our sins, right? When they open that book, the angels will look over and say, there's nothing here. And Jesus said, I know, because I pay for that sin. All the sins have been blotted out. You know that thing that is white? What do they call it? White owl. I love that thing, right? You go. So Jesus has this, right? Eternal and infinite white owl. And he said, he blotted out all of our sins. And then there's another book that is the book of our works for Christ. You know, see what rewards we might get, right? Are you filling out that book? You gotta fill it out if you want a reward. And then there's the other book is the book of life. The book of the Lamb's book of life. And then God will see my name there, your name, and you and I will be able to make it into heaven. You see, we have been remitted. Our sins have been remitted. And finally, and I love this, our sins have been remitted and we personally have been released. Remember when Paul, right, and Silas, they were in Philippi in the worst prison in the back with shackles. What were they doing? They were praising God, singing. You know what? If you have shackles and burdens in your life and you want them to fall, do the same thing. Praise God. All right? Complaining is not going to take off your shackles. Praise God. Worship God. And then, not only the shackles fell down, but the doors were open. They were released by God. Look what it says in verse 15. It says that Jesus died. He became a man so that he could die. And then so that we can be released those through fear of death. We're all the lifetime subject to bondage. We have been remitted. So when God looks at our sins, there's no sin. We have been justified. There's, like in Romans 8 says, who can accuse us? Jesus paid the price. Right? The only one can accuse us is Christ, and he paid the price for us.
Amen.
Who can condemn us? Nobody.
Nobody.
This it says, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Nobody.
Nobody. Who can separate us from God?
Nobody.
Nobody. No one. We are free in Christ.
Amen.
Because Jesus paid the price and we have been released.
Right.
It says in verse 15, and release those through fear of death. Are you afraid of death?
No.
That should be the answer. Because when you are a Christian, I mean, you fear for your family. If you have to leave them behind. But afraid of death? Afraid of the door that will open the gates of heaven to me to be with my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ? Afraid?
No.
No. No. And not like we look for it. I want to die today. No. But we're not afraid. And then he says, we're all the lifetime subject to bondage. God has called us to be free. He wants us to be free. He has set us free. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be in bondage to any sin, to any bad habit, to any fear, to the devil, being afraid of the devil. Maybe some people say, I don't want to, you know, serve too much in church so the devil doesn't persecute me so much. That is the dumbest thing that anybody can think. Being afraid of the devil. No, he needs to be afraid of you and me. Because Christ, the one that is in me, is greater than the one that it is in the world.
Amen.
You see, Satan. And he has his minions, talking about the minions. I'm not going to talk about movies, right? He has his, I don't know what color they are, but he has his people. But we don't need to be afraid of them or be part of them. In conclusion, I just want to say that many soldiers have died throughout history. It's really sad, you know, especially sad when you see, you know, they bring the flag, right? Or when they knock on the door, that breaks my heart. I'm not even part of the family. And you see the coffin with the flag on top of it, it breaks your heart,
yeah.
You know? And many soldiers, many have died throughout history to obtain and preserve freedom here in the United States, in other democratic nations around the world, not only the United States, other democratic nations as well. We are indebted to them. And as a matter of fact, two of my sons serve in the military, so I know what that is. And I almost lost both of them, you know, because of the war. So I know. The price that they have paid for us. But I also know that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price of our sins and to defeat sin and darkness and the world and death and Satan and to deliver us from eternal salvation and from eternal damnation, to salvation. So we remember this today. We remember the price that he paid for us.
Yeah.
And this price that he paid for us on the cross has become the eternal prize or reward of our glorious salvation in Christ. Let us rejoice today as we celebrate the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
In the next couple of minutes, and I'm going to call the men as we close out in prayer to come and join me here up front as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. The Bible says that Jesus gave his life for us and he was broken for us on the cross. And this is what we celebrate. This is symbolic, okay? There's nothing magical about it. The bread doesn't become Christ. The wine or the juice doesn't become blood. It's not going to make you saved or give you any superpowers. This is symbolic remembrance of what he did for us. Now, as always, I want to remind you, that this supper is is open to all believers in Christ.
Amen.
All right, now. It's open to all believers in Christ that have been baptized and that are walking in obedience with Christ. And if you are not walking in communion with Christ today, you can take a few minutes now and just pray to God to forgive your sins, confess your sins, so that we can